Diego. All right, what's goody? Welcome back to Basement Sports, your hopefully weekly podcast on everything going on in now the sports world. I am your host, Max Cooper, and I hope we are all having a good Saturday morning. This is the first episode I'd like to say in a couple of weeks. Sorry about that. I've either been extremely busy or sick and have had no time to record, which is very sad, but it is what it is. And I'm back, and I hopefully will be able to be more consistent. So last episode I recorded was the Woods Cross clinching region against Northridge High School at Northridge, beating them by like 20 some odd points. And then we had about a week, not a week-ish, we had a couple days off because it was in playoff time. We were 3 seed going into the playoffs, and we had a first round bye, and we ended up playing Orem. And let's just say that it was not a good game. We ended up losing that game, surprisingly. Very sad season. Sad way to end the season for Woods Cross. But shout out to all the seniors and everyone on that team. You did great. And everyone else, thank you for... Shout out to the whole basketball team and Coach Margetz. Thank you for letting me go along with you guys this season and letting me annoy you guys after the game by sticking my phone in your face and asking you questions. So Alta ended up winning state. They beat Timothy by like 20 something up at Weber. Congratulations to Alta. Great season for you guys. You beat Woods Cross. So I guess we can say we lost to the state champion, so to say. Let's start with this. It is March. Yes, it is March 18th. And so therefore that means March Madness is a thing in the United States of America. And so let's just go there. So first round Thursday. So I had a perfect bracket, but then I didn't. So that's okay. First game, Maryland beat West Virginia by 2. Furman, the 13 seed, beat number 4 Virginia by 1. I watched the end of that game during lunch, and that was a really fun game. Let's go Furman. Utah State lost to Missouri 76-65. That was a really sad game. I think a lot of people had Utah State as a nice upset pick going pretty far to like Sweet 16, something like that. Kansas beat Howard by 28, 96-68, number one seed winning. Another number one seed killed the 16 seed. Alabama beat Texas A&M CC 96-75. College of Charleston lost to San Diego State. That was another good upset pick a lot of people had. San Diego State beat them 63-57. Princeton upsets the number 2 seed Arizona 59-55. I watched the end of that game. That game was really fun to watch. Illinois lost to Arkansas 73-63. Auburn beat Iowa 83-75. Duke beat Oral Roberts by a good solid 23 points, 74-51. Texas beat Colgate by 20, 81-61. And Northwestern beat Boise State 75-67. And Tennessee beat Louisiana 58-55. That was a lot closer game than it probably should have been. And then Houston beat Northern Kentucky 63-52. That game was really close for a while. UCLA killed UNC Asheville 86-53. Penn State destroyed Texas A&M 76-59. And those are all the scores from Thursday. And then yesterday's scores, Michigan State beat USC. Xavier almost lost to Kennesaw State. That game was really fun to watch. Baylor's kind of squeaks past UC Santa Barbara. UC Santa Barbara was leading for a good portion of that game. St. Vincent St. Mary's beats VCU. Vermont gets destroyed by Marquette. Pitt beat Iowa State. That's an upset, 59-41. Creighton beats beats NC State 72-63. Iona loses to UConn 87-63. FDU, yes, the FDU Knights, a number 16 seed, beats Purdue 63-58, only the second time in history that a 16 seed has beat a number one seed. Obviously happened, I think it was back in 2018 or 2017, when UMBC beat Virginia. And yeah, Providence loses to Kentucky 61-53. Gonzaga beats Grand Canyon by 12, 82-70. Drake loses to Miami, which is 63-56, which is a bad game for most people. A lot of people had Drake going pretty far. FAU upsets Memphis 66-65. Montana State loses to Kansas State 77-65. TCU beats Arizona State by 2, 72-70. And Kent State loses to Indiana. I believe that one was at the buzzer, 71-60. Never mind, they beat them by 11. And yeah, so those are all the scores from the first round. And let's just say I had a perfect bracket, but then I didn't. And so that's okay. I'm still going to win my bracket group because I'm the best ever, obviously. If you ever listen to my picks, they're the best, obviously. Listen to my picks. I know what I'm doing. Don't do it. So what we got going on today, Furman versus San Diego State. I want Furman in that one. Duke versus Tennessee. I want Duke. Arkansas versus Kansas. Kansas. Princeton versus Missouri. Give me Princeton. Auburn versus Houston. I want Houston. Penn State versus Texas. Give me Texas. Northwestern versus UCLA. I'm going to go spicy with it and go Northwestern. And Maryland versus Alabama. Those are all today's. Yeah, three of the four number one seeds made it out, and because Purdue lost. El Purdue. So, March Madness. It's a great time of year, obviously, because in my opinion, March is the best time of year in terms of sports. Because you're in the NBA, you're getting down to the playoffs, and so players are actually starting to try now because they're getting for playoff positioning. March, you obviously have March Madness, 64 teams battling it out, upsets all over the place because we had Princeton, Furman, and FDAU or whatever they were beating Purdue. And then you have baseball starting up. I love baseball. I'm a baseball guy. And I guess you could say if you're a hockey fan, hockey's getting ready for playoffs, and so they're going harder. And then you have soccer starting up. If you're a soccer fan, I obviously am not a soccer fan, but it is what it is. But why is March Madness so great? That I don't know. Is it because of the upsets? Probably, because you love watching teams beat big teams. You know, like Purdue, they were one of the national title favorites this year because they had the almighty 7 foot whatever Zach Edey. I think he's like 7'4". He's a senior. I think he's National Player of the Year consensus right now, just because he was so dominant throughout the year. And you had a team like the Furman Paladins. Yes, Star Wars people be happy. The Furman Paladins. And I saw that Furman. I don't know where I'm going with this, but is it because of all the upsets? And all like the small schools proving, hey, we actually belong here. But then there's also a bunch of blowouts happening too. Like Marquette versus Vermont, 71-68. That wasn't as big. That's not necessarily a blowout. Baylor versus UCSB, 74-56. Who really likes watching those games? But maybe it's because March Madness is great because of the environment and the excitement all around it. Because one thing I will give, I personally prefer March Madness over the NBA playoffs because, yes, NBA playoffs is amazing, but most of the time it goes chalk. But what I mean by that is, like, usually top seeds always end up winning the finals. And that wasn't necessarily the case last year because we had Warriors and Celtics. I think Celtics were a 1 seed, I think. And the Warriors, I think they were a 3 seed because Memphis was 2, Phoenix was 1. But I feel like most of the time in the NBA playoffs, it goes like everyone expects, and they're jockeying for position all year long. And the number 3 seed, like the Warriors were last year, they were obviously the best team. Obviously, they won the finals, but everyone knew they were the best team, and they were just wanting themselves to have easier playoff positioning. But I feel like that's not the case in March Madness, because throughout the entire year, you don't, this is based off of, this is a committee based selection for the tournament. So you don't know where you're going to be based on your standings, like how it is in the NBA, because NBA teams, they already know where they're going to be throughout the entire year. They're planning, all right, we're going to be at this seed, they're going to be here, we're going to play them, and then we're going to play this other team. We're going to have an easy road to the Western Conference, Eastern Conference Championship, whatever. But in college basketball, in college sports, frankly, in general, this is why I also prefer watching college football over NFL football. Don't get me wrong, I love watching NFL football, best of the best. It's great. But it's also because they know what they have. They have more to lose, so to say. Because there isn't tanking. It's kind of what I'm trying to get across here. And I can't really say much because my favorite NBA team, the Jazz, are currently tanking. We'll get to that later. But there isn't tanking in college sports because there really can't be. You have no incentive to tank. And like, if you tank long enough, your program's going to get removed. I think that happened with a Florida school. I think it was like USF. I think they got their football team removed. They just discontinued the football team for no reason. But in college sports, like in college football, it's the top four teams. That's going to be like this next year. And then the year after that, it's going to go to the 12-team playoff, which is going to be a little bit different in terms of how they're going to want it. But again, it's committee-based selections. There's a whole show about it towards the end of the year, like every Tuesday on ESPN, and college football towards the end of the season, where the playoff committee gives out their top four rankings, top five, their top 25. And so you have to play with your all every single weekend in college football and every single night in college basketball. Because if you slip up once and lose a game, you don't know where that'll put you. Now, in hindsight, yes, if you lose one game throughout the entire year, you're still going to be a number one seed. But if you slip up too many times, you don't know where you're going to be. Compared to as in the NBA and NFL, you can slip up, yeah, sure, but you know you're purposely slipping up. Any given team can beat you any given night in the college world. And I think we proved that in college football early in the year with Marshall beating Notre Dame. Notre Dame, I think at the time, was ranked like 7th or 8th. And Marshall comes in from the Sun Belt and beats him at home. Beats him at Notre Dame. And then also Utah proved that twice. They came in, USC came in to Rice-Eccles, and we beat them. And it was a really fun game to watch. Obviously one of the greatest games I've seen in a while. And then it happened again in the Pac-12 championship. Everyone was expecting USC. I think they're like a 7-point favorite. And we came in and we absolutely demolished him. Any team can beat you on any single night. And TCU proved that a lot, and especially in the playoff against Michigan. Everyone's like, okay, it's going to be a Michigan-Georgia or a Michigan-Ohio State final. We'd love for the Michigan-Ohio State, but we don't know how that's going to go against Georgia. And TCU came out and they were killing them. Michigan almost came back, but in the end, TCU won by, I think it was like double digits, two possession game. And then it almost happened again a couple hours later that night with Georgia versus Ohio State. Georgia coming in, just won the national championship the year before, coming in looking to repeat. And obviously they did after they barely squeaked past Ohio State after their kicker Noah Ruggles absolutely shanked that kick for the win. It was really funny to watch because I hate Noah Ruggles because he beat the Utes in the Rose Bowl 2 years ago. I'm not mad about that. You're mad about that. But, and then we're all expecting, okay, this is going to be a good game. Georgia made sure that wasn't going to happen. They beat him by like 60. They beat TCU by 60 in the Natty. And that's really, like, obviously there's upsets sometimes in the NFL, but not as much. And you got to be on your game all the time in the NFL, of course, but also in college. Because these kids are, yes, they are kids. And so, like, you obviously, some teams have more talent than others, like the Georgias, like the Alabamas, like the Tennessees, all those schools, because they're getting all these five-star recruits coming in, you're pumping them out to the NFL, a bunch of NFL talent, whatever. But there's these other schools who have NFL talent as well. Like they're like Utah. I'm using Utah a lot. Am I a little biased towards Utah? Yeah, but we pump out NFL talent consistently. Last year we had Devin Lloyd go in the first round. We had a bunch of players the year before that go drafted, not in the first round, but a bunch of like second, third rounders, which are still really, 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 really good high draft picks that we've had. And this year we have Clark Phillips maybe going in the first round. Dalton Kincaid maybe going in the first round. Those two first round picks. So we can, upsets are fun I think that's why college sports is better than NFL, than pro sports, in my opinion, in terms of basketball and football, because it's fun. And there's also more highlight plays because the competition isn't as good. So, like, maybe you have an insanely good wide receiver and a not as good quarterback. So the quarterback's not going to throw in as accurate ball, but because your receiver's insane, he'll make a great catch over a pretty good defender. Compared to as in the NFL, where you have a great receiver and a great quarterback and a great corner and a great receiver and all that stuff, then the plays, obviously, they're still going to come, but they're not going to be as rare because everyone at the NFL are just freaks of athletes. And I still believe that if the NFL didn't exist, we could have the greatest, we'd still be the greatest sports nation in the world because we have the greatest athletes in the world playing in the NFL. But that's my little spiel ramble thing on March Madness and why college sports is better than the professional sports of the NBA and the NFL. Let's move to let's go to NBA, I guess. The Jazz struggling really bad, and other teams struggling not as bad, but the Jazz struggling bad, very, very bad. Yeah, not fun. Jazz play the Celtics tonight. We're going to get absolutely slaughtered in this game. No doubt in my mind whatsoever. And I am so, so, so excited to have that happen because I love watching the Jazz lose. I kind of have to start liking that. But just to take a quick look at the standings right now, we got Denver. So out west, we have Denver, the number one seed, followed by Sacramento, who's 4.5 games back, then Memphis, then Phoenix, then the Clippers, then Dallas, and then in the play-in, we got Golden State, Minnesota, Oklahoma City, and the Lakers. The Lakers are tied with the Jazz, but I think they have the overall advantage because their win percentage is 40.479 compared to the Jazz's 0.478. And then we have New Orleans, Portland, Houston, and San Antonio. And out east, we have Milwaukee, followed by Boston, who's only a game and a half back. And then Philly, Cleveland, New York, and Brooklyn. Brooklyn's doing pretty good staying afloat after the Kevin Durant trade and Kyrie Irving trade. And then in the play-in, we have Miami, Atlanta, Toronto, Chicago. And just outside of that is Indy, who is about one or two games back. Again, I think it's because of the win percentages. And then Indy, Washington, Orlando, Charlotte, and Detroit. Jazz, not going to lie, I haven't really been paying attention to the Jazz. Yeah, that's my fault. We suck, but that's okay. Our streak is a one-game losing streak. That's fun. And we're 4-6 in our last 10. So we suck is what I'm learning. And you know what? Frankly, I'm okay with it because we didn't tank at the beginning of the year. Now we're tanking at the end of the year. And we're going to get a semi-decent draft pick. And then I think we're going to trade it away and get superstars. I'm hoping, Danny, please do that. If you don't do that, I will cry. But overall right now in the NBA, it's very, very fun in terms of stuff going on off the court. Because obviously on the court stuff, it's great, but I don't think really anyone's watching right now because of March Madness going on. Everyone loves March Madness more than the NBA, I hope. But off the court issue right now, Ja Morant. Oh boy. So a story came out a couple Wednesdays ago, I think, where Ja Morant over the summer punched a 17-year-old while playing basketball at his house. And everyone was wondering, well, why was he there? And it turns out that 17-year-old was like the best player in Memphis. Best player in Tennessee, sorry. So, okay, that kind of makes sense. And then he apparently went back in his house and had a gun strapped on his hip coming back out. And so then that was a really fun thing. And then we had, and then like that night, they play the Rockets. This is when all his allegations have come out. That night he plays against the Rockets and does a gun shooting celebration on the sideline, which was really funny to me. And then I think it was that same night or a couple nights later, I think it was like Thursday night maybe, he's in a strip club and he shows a gun with him. And everyone was just telling him to stop and stop and stop. And then it came down a couple days ago. He's been suspended for 8 games. He's in a training, quote-unquote, program out there in Florida. I don't know why he'd go to Florida. They're all idiots there. They can't help him. If anything, they're going to hurt him. And so, but yeah, no. So Ja Morant's making life interesting off the court for NBA fans. Damian Lillard dropped 71. I don't know if I've already talked about this. I probably haven't. But Lillard dropped 71 in regulation compared to Mitchell's 71 in overtime. Lillard was more efficient. He took less shots. He hit less free throws. He hit more threes, but that's okay. That's still less shots. And I was watching an interview. He did an interview with on the JJ Redick podcast, and he said, I should have had 90 because there was a couple threes that didn't go in that should have went in, and he smoked a couple layups. So he's saying, yeah, I should have had 90. Like, that would have been insane if Damian Lillard had 90 points that night. Granted, it was against the Houston Rockets, and everyone at the time was like, oh, well, Mitchell's better because he did it against the Bulls. Well, yeah, the Bulls' defense has started to get better now, but at the time earlier in the year, the Bulls' defense was absolutely terrible, and people were starting to wonder, oh, no, what's going on? Are the Bulls going to be okay? And obviously now they're in the play-in, I think. They're in the play-in, so they're doing all right. Bulls are all right. But, yep, Lillard had 71. NBA World freaked out about that, and I frankly freaked out about it. Just because, oh my gosh, what is going on this year in terms of scoring? There's 270-plus point games. And I saw this graphic. It said Damian Lillard, hold up, let me find it. Damian Lillard has more 60-point games than, it was like LeBron. Oh, here it is. Damian Lillard has more 60-point games than Steph Curry, LeBron James, Shaquille O'Neal, Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, Tim Duncan, Bill Russell, Kevin Durant. Combined, he has more 60-point games. Him himself has more 60-point games than all of those people. Now, granted, you may be like, oh, well, that's not really a good thing because they don't score a lot. What do you mean? Steph Curry, best shooter in history, scores so much. LeBron James, great scorer. Shaq, one of the most dominant big men, could easily get 60. Bill Russell was the best player in his time, could have easily got 60, and he did easily get 60 a lot. Kevin Durant is arguably the best isolation scorer in NBA history outside of Allen Iverson, but I don't know. In my opinion, he is the greatest isolation scorer in NBA history. Gets 60. And Damian Lillard has more than all of them combined. That's amazing. That really is amazing. And so, yeah, that's in the NBA. Games tonight. Jazz play the Celtics. And the Nuggets play the Knicks, the Magic play the Clippers, the Sixers play the Pacers, Timberwolves play the Raptors, Kings versus Wizards, Heat versus Bulls, Warriors and Grizzlies. Yeah, I don't know. But we're running out a little bit of time. World Baseball Classic's going on right now. I don't know. I've been following it a little bit, but again, I've been too busy with March Madness. Yeah, I'll just wrap it up here. Yeah, thank you guys all for listening, and I will talk to you guys. I'll be back next Saturday. Peace.